all the neglected Bibles in the world were dusted off simultaneously, the world would go into a record dust storm. And the sun would be eclipsed for a week. So I say to you, what I love to say to others, quit treating your Bible with shelf esteem. Would you stand, please, and we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews. Love you guys. Be blessed. Great to meet a bunch of new folks, and we just want to be an encouragement to everybody. That's what we want to be if we can. God being our helper. He is the one that makes everything work. Hebrews chapter 4. I love the book of Hebrews. I think somebody, was it not long ago, told me that there's going to be coffee in heaven, you know, Hebrews. I know if there is, my wife already has the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
We have this little thing, you know, I'll go into a gas mart and get her a cup of coffee, and I put in like two or three half and halves and stir six times Rick to the northeast. Put in some French vanilla, stir six times to the southwest. Her coffee is a work of art. In those moments, I feel sort of like Michelangelo. I'm producing an art form, praise God. She doesn't love coffee, but she really likes it a lot. Okay. Hebrews chapter 4. And then we're going to read a little bit later in the book in Hebrews chapter 11, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2. For unto us, everybody say us.
Us.
Did you know he carries us in his name? Jesus.
Wow.
Us. He's in my name, Mach. The Israelis, Mach, Machel, which is a tall order because my name means who is like unto God. So he's in my name. El, the El part, Michael, El Shaddai, Elohim. So he's in my name, but I'm also in his name, Jesus. He carries us in his name. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. See, that's, God believes in profit. I know this is a nonprofit organization, right? Little play on words there. But God wants us to actually something to be added to us. He wants to help us. He really loves to help people. And he helps me. And if you lean into him, he'll touch you. You know, if you let him touch you, chains will fall off of you. Addictions. I'm going to preach a big Jesus. I don't serve a tiny Jesus. I don't know what rendition you have of him, but he's a big God. That's who he is, and nothing is hard for him to do.
Amen.
All right, yes, amen. So watch this. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So you see, I'm not a sermon sampler. I'm not an SMO, Sunday morning only Christian. I'm in this for the long run.
Yes.
I'm not playing patty cakes. What you see is what you get. I'm trying to serve God with all of my heart and all of my strength. I'm passionate about everything. I'm passionate about prayer. I'm passionate about Bible studies. I'm passionate about holiness. I'm passionate about his name. I'm passionate about the promises. I'm passionate about preaching. I'm passionate about you. Seriously.
Amen.
Really. I could just say, okay, forget the preaching. I just want to walk around and love on all you guys. Just say something to you, build you up. And it would be a great morning if I could just build you up and help you trust him more.
Yes.
And believe that you're special in his eyes.
Yes.
Because you are.
Yes.
Very, very special. I really do feel that in my heart of hearts. And then in Hebrews chapter 11. So we were in chapter 4, now in Hebrews chapter 11. So a few chapters down the street. Okay. And we're going to come to a verse that I know that we probably don't believe. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it that way. I mean a verse that we're challenged by. Okay. I'm sure that you believe it. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ooh, I want to read that again. And we'll probably, Sister Gwen, good to see you back. We always miss you when you're not able to be with us, this amazing media lady over here. She's something else. But we might throw that up with the Amplified too, this verse 6, if we could. Look at this. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God. That makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? And please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists. How many of you know God exists?
Yes, he does.
I thought you guys were a pack of believers. All right. And that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Okay. So, beautiful verses on faith. Now, this word, I want to help somebody. I'd like to help you get healed today. If you believe what I'm preaching, you could get healed, right? As a matter of fact, if you get healed while I'm preaching, just jump up and shout.
Yeah. All right.
You say, you do that here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
Right.
We do all kinds of things. I'll never forget, my wife was running. This was years ago. She was running. In the days when she was so fleet-footed. And she was rounding the bend and went down. Looked like she was sliding into second base. It's like, well, praise God. Somebody called intensive care. Do you have an extra bed there? We need some. No, she gets up and keeps on worshiping the Lord. Don't. You know, Brother Tenney said, somebody, you know, she was asked, how you doing, sis? And she says, oh, I'm going through hell, Brother Tenney. He said, don't stop now. Don't stop now. Keep trucking. Okay. All right. Just a thought. It's just a thought. Okay. Okay. So I want to talk to you. I'm going to call this something. I'm going to use a real big, like a word that you, I think we all know what it means. But in case you don't, I'm going to give you a free definition. There's going to be no extra charge for this, okay? Okay, how many of you know what an epiphany is?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you know what an epiphany is. Lift your hands real high, because it's a word that you don't hear all the time. Okay, if you don't feel bad, but it's a word that's kind of kicked around a lot for many years in our culture. And I'm gonna read you the definition, because I thought this is so well written. I don't normally even do this. I don't normally just read definitions. But this one, if you get it, because I want to talk about the epiphany of faith. Okay, the epiphany of faith. So, according to these experts, it's usually a sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. So like a sudden manifestation, like sometimes it comes like in a flash. You could have been sitting on a bus or on a plane, and all of it, you've been praying about something. You didn't know what the answer was, and all of a sudden, God gave you a sort of like a short epiphany. Boom, and you had a flash of his insight on what to do.
Hallelujah.
What to do, what action to take. An intuitive grasp of reality through something such as an event, usually simple and striking, an illuminating discovery, realization, or disclosure. A revealing scene or moment. Now, does that help anybody?
Yes.
It could last minutes. It could be just in seconds. I've had that happen numerous times. It's like, oh my. As a matter of fact, I had another one, a different one, this week. I was not anticipating it. And so before I went to bed, I had a couple, two and a half hours of prayer and seeking God. Because he gave me an insight on something that it sort of like majorly helped me and blew me away, really. I was not anticipating it. This was years ago. I had an epiphany on faith. I don't claim lots of them, but I do give God honor for any that he's given me. If you will lean into him and ask him for understanding, sometimes we're praying for power when we should be praying for understanding. Lift your hands. Let's ask God to help us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the liberty of the sons of God. Thank you for the power of your word, Lord. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Would you clap to the Lord a praise offering? He's the worthy one. Seated. I love quotes. Anybody love quotes?
Yes.
Here's one that I love. Life is like a 10-speed bike. Most of us have gears we never use. You have, according to the book of Romans, you have faith. He's put faith in all of us, it says in Romans, right around Romans 12. It talks about he's given to every man faith. So you have faith. And often we operate in it and don't, we're not totally, sometimes God lets us be unconscious of something because he wants to protect us. Because when we're too conscious of our giftings, it can lead to arrogance. So sometimes God in his mercy will let us be unconscious of something, not because he wants us to be stupid, but because in our unconsciousness we can operate in something that doesn't lead us to a place of puffed up celebrity status, arrogance, empty-headedness. I understand what I'm saying? So there are probably things that work in you that you're sort of aware they're there, but you maybe not put a title on it or a label on it, but it's a gift. It's a something that came from God. You, let me tell you, you have faith. You probably have more faith than you've ever used. For instance, how many of you, this is the delightful thing about refrigerators. When you open the door, the light goes on. Isn't that exciting? There's light all of a sudden. You can see all the goodies. You know, and I don't know about you, but food flirts with me. I'm sorry. It's like, what? You know, what? It flirts with me, and I have to rebuke you. I rebuke you. What'd you say? Come by again? The light goes on. Okay, so how many of you know that when the door closes, the light goes out? How do you know it goes out? Did you drill a hole in the back of the fridge and peek in there and make sure that the light? Talk about periscope. It went out. You had faith that it went out when you closed the door. That's faith. When you sat down, we spent $7,000 on these chairs. You can believe that. But you didn't go. Okay, just wanted to make sure that it would hold my weight. He would like you to sit down on his promises and rest in his promises. Because there's strength in his word. There's power in his word. And you throw yourself down on this chair like you've been sitting on it for 100 years. And these aren't even that old. I mean, understand, you're operating in some parts of faith, little pieces of faith, that if you take that and turn that toward Jesus, if you take that same action, turn it toward God, and walk in him in that kind of faith, you'd see some miracles in your household. Your grandkids would come back to the Lord. Your children would be healed. Finances would be coming through the window and under your door if you would walk in it and use it toward him. Faith is a lot like electricity. There's power. Hey, remember, but was it Easter when we came and all the power was out? Wasn't that awesome? Say, well, okay, we came here to have a rip-snorting church service. Where's the power? So what we did, we said, okay, y'all, come back in a couple weeks. We'll have the, no, we went, we came in, the lights, I mean, it was all blown out, man. Some of you, Brother Aaron, you guys, this power went out. How many of you got caught in that wind? Yeah, wind like on steroids. Wind on steroids. And power went out. We came in here. We started praying and worshiping. We can have, see, we bring our power with us. We can have a service without lights. We can have a service with candles, or you can just glow in the dark like you do anyhow. But we're going to have church. That's how we feel here. We're going to have church no matter what. We're going to come in the power of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to worship until the glory of God comes down. And if we have power in the building, that's wonderful. But if not, it won't stop us. So that's what we did. And as we're praying and worshiping, the power came back on.
That's right.
I've got a friend of mine, preacher friend. He's like square by square. He's going to fit in New Jerusalem. Okay, you know, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide. You know, square by square. It's going to take square people to fit there. See, if you're not a little square, you probably won't fit in New Jerusalem. Just a thought, just a thought, okay? So this guy was on the streets of Milwaukee with his hair down past his belt. And nobody wanted to mess with Mike Pimp. It was somebody that you don't mess with on the streets. Then somebody started talking to him about Jesus. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost, gets baptized on a supernatural faith. Amber, you have faith in your heart more predominant than you're even aware of. Big dog. That was her nickname. She's tiny to me, but she was called Big Dog because she was a big influence on the basketball team at Kansas. All right? She's an influence in our church. She left her little church of, 12,000, 15,000 to come to this church because she loved what she felt here. Oh, and she's still coming, and now she's the Sunday school superintendent of all the audacity. Woo, come on now. God bless our leaders. God bless our helpers. God bless our teachers. The best part is about to happen to us. There is a move of God that he wants to send to our churches and to our country. I don't know if you've heard this, but I believe it with all my heart. If you've ever read about the Great Awakening, there is another, I believe it's going to happen just before he comes. There is another awakening coming to our church and to our country and to our world. Another awakening, a great awakening. Praise God. To this nation, a move of God. And the key is we're going to have to know how to operate in faith. So this Mike Papp, he was in a restaurant and all the lights blew out. He knew where that business came from, so he shouted, "Satan, turn them lights back on." He's just down home, boy. "Satan, in Jesus' name, turn those lights back on." Boom, the lights came back on. He looked out the windows and the power's out everywhere around him. The lights of the restaurant went down, but he spoke a word. "Satan, turn those lights back on. In Jesus' name," boom, they were back on. Everybody else was in the dark. I'm going to tell you what, if you know how to work in faith, God will bless you and help you do stuff that's so extraordinary it's hard to talk about it. I'm telling you, you speak to things. He said, "Speak to the mountains. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever." He saith. What he keeps saying in faith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatever he progressively keeps saying in faith. Brother, how many of you were there when Brother Cunningham was preaching at camp? Missed that night. Oh, you've got to go back and hear his message. He was in the car as a young man with Billy Cole in West Virginia. And the snow was falling. And I mean, it was already a number of feet deep, and it just kept coming down and kept coming down. And they're driving, and all of a sudden, in the middle of their trip, Wild Bill, Billy Cole, yells out something like, "I rebuke this snow in Jesus' name." Brother Cunningham said, it had been snowing for days. In moments, he said. It was almost immediately. Just boom, the snow stopped. I went back. Hey, listen. I'm going to show you. See these two pages of notes? Those are notes I wrote when I was listening to Billy Cole preaching. Let me give you the date. It's a Wisconsin camp, July the 2nd, 1996. You know, I got to reading that thinking I forgot some of this stuff. He said, you know why there's been so many earthquakes? We're not praying like we should be praying. It's in here. Should I tell you some of the stuff in here? I had an epiphany. And the epiphany was, use your faith in all directions. Nothing in the kingdom works without faith. For instance, if you're going to come up here and sing, come up here and sing in faith that the Holy Ghost is going to use you. If you're taking charts or whatever out to teach a Bible study, go out there and teach that Bible study in faith. That God is going to give you those hearts and going to bring them into the kingdom. Whatever you, if you pay tithes, don't just pay tithes. Pay them in faith. Claim the promises of God. Claim Malachi 3 verses 8 through 10. He said, I'll open you up and pour you out a blessing. Oh, I like this description. There shall not be room enough to receive it. Oh, God, give us some of those, Lord. Not room enough. Let's go find a bigger building because God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. But what we do is we just expect it to happen, and we don't want to go to war about it. We don't want to contend. But many of the promises of God, you have to step into them and contend for them. And this epiphany was, it helped me understand. I had this epiphany, like all of a sudden, in a flash, I seemed to understand more about faith than I'd ever done or had before. And that is that it's not an automatic thing. It's something that you sort of step into it, and you're willing to actually slug it out. So here's Billy Cole. And he's telling a story. He said, okay, so we've been in Thailand, he said, 3 years. Guess how many people they had? 12. The mighty Billy Cole. Brother Frank, do you know that for 3 years, that's probably not a lot for a missionary, right? And sending in his missionary reports. Okay, this year we had 4 people come together. What? What? 12 in 3 years. So, he said, one day, he said, I got to praying. And this is what really spoke to me today when I was reading this. He said, I prayed until I was exhausted. When's the last time you took something and you said, I'm going to pray about this until I'm worn out? I'm going to pray it through today. I'm taking this thing that I've been worried about. I'm going to pray it through. I'm going to, as much strength as I have in me, I am going to give this my best shot today. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray through it. I'm going to pray it through. When's the last time you prayed about something with such ferocity that when you got done, you were exhausted? Now, it's not in these notes, but in another time and place, I heard him telling the story, and he added some more graphic description. He said, I cried a puddle of tears on the floor during this time. He wept so hard. When's the last time that happened to you? Where you were so burdened and you were so desperate for a breakthrough that you prayed until you were tired. Sister Christy, wave your hand. Right there, you're the one. Only one with red hair that I know of in the house. That's a Christy. Although I got to be careful because we've got about, what, we have three now? Three or so? Three or four Christy. So I got to be careful. And then her last name's changed. I don't know why. She married an amazing man. She still stayed in sea country.
That's right.
From Collins to Cameron. Praise the Lord, Brother Paul. But those miracles, I love when she tells us these miracles. Because is there a different rendition of Jesus in Europe or in these foreign fields? Is that a different rendition? Do we have the same Jesus here? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And one of the reasons why sometimes they see so many of these unusual miracles is they've got to have miracles or they can't even set up shop. They have killers coming after them. They have assassins. Did you see that little thing where it said, oh, come and have a swim? I don't know if you understood that, but we had a friend of ours that was in China for years. And when she sent letters, she couldn't say, we baptized a lot of people. She would say, we had a swimming party. It had to be coded. Coded language. We had a swimming party. And you think, well, what? I thought we had some... we had a few restrictions on that kind. They're not talking about literal swimming. They had to call it something because they were in a communist country and you could lose your life if you did something that the authority... I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is going to have a church. I don't care. He's going to have a church. I said he's going to have a church. He's going to have a church come hell or high water. He is going to have a church and he's calling us to use our faith in all directions. He wants to bless us coming and going. He wants to help us. He wants to heal us. Yeah. Brother LJ, Harry, some of you, he's such a great guy, isn't he? Yeah. He's so funny. Yeah. When he and I get together, we're like Mutt and Jeff. We're like the Bobbsey twins. We're like, because I got this humorous side to me that I have to just totally keep under handcuffs. I had Angela laughing the other day, yesterday on the phone. That's my niece, and she laughed her little heart out. I was just trying to spread a little joy. I get tickled, and all of a sudden, I move from preacher to comedian, and I have to pull that comedian back in, tuck him over. Get back in there. This is not right. You can't overdo this now. Don't be too happy. It's against the law. Okay? Not really. But anyhow, LJ comes in to speak at our ministerial prayer meeting. And you know, he's just a wonderful preacher. And so he was running late and he got here about 8:13. I was hoping he'd make it by 7:30. He got caught in traffic coming down from Mount Vernon. Of course, pastor there and Bishop, you know, Kramer, and amazing, wonderful church. And so he gets up to speak and I thought, we're going to hear this message, right? And he goes, no, I had a message for you guys. But the Lord wants me to tell you our story. And so I'm thinking, oh, I wonder what that is, because he wasn't really shouting or anything. You know, he was very serious. He said, in 2 years, 2 years since he's become the pastor, we've had 24 funerals. And I'm thinking, what? How do you say this? It's like, what? What? Well, that's what. Well. It's just the way... You'd have to know Auntie Jess, you know, but she's so special and has her little special language. It's kind of like sign language, only it's audible, okay? And, and he says, now listen, I'm thinking, 20, what, dude, are you talking about 24 funerals? At about 4 or 5, I'd be saying, hey, God, what would you like to help me out here? Because I'm really messed up right now. Help me, Jesus. So, after 24, that's like one a month. So, he got so worried, you know. And Lisa, he said, I went to God in prayer and I said, God, are we killing your church? I mean, that you can, but guess what the Holy Ghost said to him? You're not big enough to kill my church. I'm going to tell you what. He's not, that the enemy's not big enough. Nobody is big enough to kill the church of the living God. I can do. Here's a little verse, Philippians 4:13. We learned it in Sunday school, but you're supposed to be using it every day. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can climb that mountain. You can survive your trial. You can win the lost. You can be healed. Come on, now plug it in. The epiphany of faith says, don't just talk about it. Step into it. Say it. Walk in it. believe it, hold to it, be desperate and be drastic, and something's going to happen. Wow, you're not big enough to kill my church. Wow, praise God. So here's Billy Cole laying on his face, sobbing, crying, asking God. I must brush myself off. I've got powder burns, huh? I got most of the story in my notes. So he prayed until he was absolutely. See, we think that praying through is just one event that happened years ago, and that's it. We never do that anymore. That's a fallacy. There are times when we must come back to an altar with this determination. I'm going. I wish several somebodies could make up their minds right now, because you could interrupt this humble little whatever this is and walk down here, and I would probably stop after a while if there were about 60 or 50 people standing down. But you could walk, make up your mind. I'm going to that altar. I'm going to get back under the power of God. I'm going to get refilled. I'm going to be refreshed. I'm going to be renewed. I'm going to pray through again, and I'm going to talk in tongues until the Holy Ghost just has his way with me. Oh, praise God. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray through. I'm going to find him again. I'm going to have him again. He's going to fill me again. So Brother Cole got so desperate, he asked his wife, and she was an intercessor. Most of you probably know that. She was a wonderful intercessor in prayer, and probably one of the great secrets of Billy Cole's success. Asked her to put her hand on him and pray for him. So as she did, the Holy Ghost moved on her. I know what that's like. He was on the phone with me one day, and he said, "Oh, let me hand the phone to Shirley and let her say a word." And so he handed the phone to Shirley. When Shirley picked up the phone on her end, all of a sudden she was shouting in tongues, and there was power, electricity coming like over the phone. Yeah, a little chat with Shirley. Why don't you say hi to Shirley? Shirley is shouting in tongues. Like, wow. Like, uh-huh. Yeah, come on now. Anybody believe that you ought to shout every once in a while? Shout, for the walls are falling. Shout because the power of God's here. Shout because God is going to give you new joy. Well, I'm sorry. That's my Cherokee. It acts up every once in a while. I have to calm it down, pull it in, put handcuffs on it. So she's praying for him. And all of a sudden she starts speaking in tongues and under a powerful anointing. And as she's praying over him and then praying in tongues over him, the Holy Ghost started prophesying through her and said that there was going to be a breakthrough. He promised them a breakthrough. And he said, "I give you power over the Prince of Thailand." Oh, man. Give us power over the Prince of Columbus. Give us power over the Prince of Columbus. Give us power over the Prince of Columbus. I believe the scriptures teach spiritual warfare. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against what? See? The rulers of the darkness of this age or this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. There is such a thing as spiritual warfare, and using our faith and plugging into God and having him help us know how to pray with authority. So all of a sudden God tells him through his wife, "I've given you authority over the Prince of Thailand." Oh, hallelujah. Remember three years, 12 people. He said about 2 weeks later, they were having a meeting. There were a lot of leaders there, and the Holy Ghost fell, and 40 now, 2 weeks later, after having only 12, get the Holy Ghost in 3 years. A couple weeks later, after this prophecy and this promise and this prayer breakthrough, they're in a meeting and the Holy Ghost falls, and 40 people, 40 people are filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Oh my, that was a breakthrough. God has a breakthrough for every one of our churches. God has a breakthrough if we were willing to believe him and pray, believing him that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There is a personal breakthrough for each one of us. There are miracles standing in line that God wants to trust us with. Lift your hands. Come on now, stand. Oh yeah, lift your hand, lift your heart. Let him touch you even now. Oh yeah, God, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. There is a breakthrough for you. There is a breakthrough for your finances. There is a breakthrough for your children. There is a breakthrough for your grandchildren. Woo! Let's love him right now. Let's worship him. You are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. Hallelujah. I give you praise. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Ooh. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. God has given you authority. God has given you authority. God has put his hand on you. There are things that he wants to bring to you and me. If we can get ourselves under the blood again, get washed, get our minds washed, get our motives washed, get our emotions healed. There are things that God, oh, I'm asking for Brother Thad to come. I feel like there's a touch of God on us right now. And God wants to heal you. He wants to bless you. He wants to lift you. He wants to deliver you. There is a breakthrough coming your way. And when you let faith operate in you, you hasten your deliverance. When you let faith operate in you, you hasten miracles that have been knocking on the door of your heart and your mind. When you choose to believe, to speak, to think, and act in faith. Woo! Come on. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Wait on him a few moments. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. When did you pray about something until you were tired? When did you pray about something until God gave you a prophetical word, a rhema, a prophetical word, and told you everything's going to turn around shortly? Everything is going to turn around shortly. Woo! Woo, you can be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. You can be healed today, right now, in Jesus' name. He is your healer. He is your great physician. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You have a breakthrough. You're not far from it. You're bumping up against it. You have a breakthrough coming. It's already been tailor-made for you. Hallelujah. He's already designed it. He's already put his blessing on it. He's sending some grace your way. He's sending some mercy your way. He's sending his goodness your way. And faith gives us the tenacity to pull it into our world, to pull it out of his world, of the invisible and into the visible world. Or fire. five senses stand up and say, I see it, I hear it, I feel it, I taste it. It's here. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, all of a sudden, as you're praying, you sense it, you feel it. They're going to come back to God. They're going to find the Lord again. They're going to pray through this year. They're going to come back to Him. They're going to consecrate. They're already talking to the Lord. They're already asking Him for His forgiveness. They're already talking to the Father. Oh yeah, a flash, an intuition anointed from God, an epiphany, an aha moment that says something. I'm going to open this altar up. I'm not even one fifth of the way through this, but I feel the touch of the Holy Ghost on us now. Bring a promise. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And all things, Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, there's something. There's a witness in the Spirit. Oh, you have a right. Even our precious guests, I want you to feel that you have a right to walk to this altar and send Jesus a text mail. I want to serve you. I need your touch. I want your blessing. I need you to work in me. I need you to heal me up, Lord. Oh, yeah. In Jesus' name, would you reach over to somebody and pray a blessing on them right now? Would you reach over to somebody? Everything works by faith. Sincere faith. Childlike faith. Humble faith. Oh, yes, Lord. We seek you. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, I want you, Lord. I want you, God. I need you. I praise you. Your word is true. Your word is true. I worship you. What a great day to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. What a great day to be refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Lord, heal our hearts. Lord, pour in the wine and oil of your Spirit. Pour in the wine and oil of your Spirit. Great God, we desire you. We worship you. We desire you. Don't be afraid to just send up a little repentance prayer. Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, if I've missed you, if I've grieved you, if somehow, Lord, I've caused you to step back in my life. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Wash me in your blood. Wash me in your blood. loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's got your back. He's got your back. Oh, let him lift you today. And underneath us are the everlasting arms. And underneath us all, the everlasting arms. Hallelujah. That they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Brother Rick, I felt that at the revival. That renewing God. Come on now. Come and join us down here for a few moments. Oh, praise God. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. They shall mount up with wings. Join us for a few minutes as we pray together and believe. Wings. Come under his wings. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Somebody's already got a breakthrough happening right now. He has a breakthrough already paid for. In crimson currency, the blood of the Lamb has already paid for your breakthrough. Jesus' name.